go.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, January 23rd. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello.
Here.
Council Board Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Board Member Fellows.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold.
Here.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara.
Here. Item 3 is our flag salute. We're privileged to have the VFW here this evening to lead us in the flag salute. And afterwards, if you would remain standing for our invocation, Pastor Robert Banker is here from the Open Door Church in Oceano to deliver our invocation.
Before us are the colors of our nation. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Needed and insight when wisdom is needed, dear Lord, we pray. And then we just ask your blessing upon them for their years of service. And then tonight, as they honor one of the members of the city fire department, Chief Rebeck, Father, we just pray that he might enjoy his years of retirement and have much health and much happiness because of it. We thank you for a country that honors those who serve in the armed forces, those who serve in a civilian capacity, dear Lord. And those of us who just pay our taxes, we're thankful for those. And we believe it's an honor. These things we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, before you leave, we need to hear about VFW. What's new and exciting?
You want me to hang on to that?
You got to change hats for this?
Yeah. Okay. We'd just simply like to invite everyone to come to San Luis Obispo and that other town. We have a Veterans Museum there. I understand some people don't like tanks, but it's a history of the people of San Luis County. And every little piece of history we get helps us along. I'd like to see you over there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for being here. That takes us to item 5, special presentations, and we do indeed have a special presentation this evening. And I'm going to step down from the dais to deliver that presentation. I would like to invite Terry up to the podium. Well, Terry, this for those of you who don't know, Terry recently retired as our fire chief and also the fire chief of Grover Beach as well. And I told him then, and I will tell him now, he's far too young to be retired. Now, me, I just retired as well, and I deserve it, but you.
What was your age, Mr. Mayor?
No, we won't go into that. But it is indeed a provided extensive fire management and administrative experience, including 10 years as Director of Building and Fire with the City of Arroyo Grande Fire Department. And whereas Chief Fiebig was hired on October 10, 1996 as Director of Building and Fire Fire Chief and brought several years of experience with him when he began his fire service career in 1979 as a firefighter with the Presidio of San Francisco. I didn't know you were up there. Really? And continuing his fire service in the cities of Foster City, Burlingame, and Solvang before becoming the Director of Building and Fire for the City of Arroyo Grande. And whereas in July 2004, Chief Fiebig became Joint Fire Chief for the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and under his leadership, the two agencies achieved a very efficient and professional fire service organization for both communities. And whereas Chief Fiebig was instrumental in acquiring full-time fire captain positions in 2000, full-time fire engineer positions in 2003, and the fire station expansion project in 2003-2004. And whereas Chief Fiebig has demonstrated high professional standards in serving as a board member on various committees, including the California Fire Chiefs Association and the League of California Cities. Terry is also actively involved in the community as a member of the Pismo Beach Five Cities Rotary and has served as past president of the Fire Chiefs Association of San Luis Obispo County, past member of the California Fire Chiefs Board of Directors, San Luis Obispo Emergency Medical Services Agency Board of Directors, South County Healthcare Alliance Board of Directors, past section chief to the California Fire Chiefs Association Administrative Fire Services Section, a board member of the Boy Scouts of America, the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital Board of Directors, YMCA Board of Directors, Cub Scouts and Explorer Scouts, and member of St. John's Lutheran Church in Arroyo Grande. No wonder you were hard to track down. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Tony Ferrara, Mayor of the City of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby express sincere appreciation and admiration to Chief Terry Fiebig for his 10 years of outstanding and dedicated service to the City of Arroyo Grande, its citizens, and the entire community. We are extremely proud to have had Chief Fiebig as a member of our city family and hereby congratulate him upon his retirement from city service. Terry, it is a real honor and a privilege to present this to you.
Mayor Tony, members of the council, our staff here at the city, my dad, Clarence, my wife, Linda, thank you very much. All of the members that are here tonight from our public safety organization, the other staffers, our two chaplains from the fire department, a couple members from the department. Thank you so much to the citizens. This has really, really been a pleasure. It has been a real gratifying experience that I was entrusted with the leadership of this organization. To the members of the council that are sitting here tonight and to the staff members that facilitated the joining together of the two services between our two cities, the day I got here, people were talking about it, and that didn't mark the day they started talking about it. They were talking about it for years before that. There have been several attempts made at starting something like that. This city council, the members of this city council and this city staff were the ones that were brave enough to go out and try to do it. And believe me, that is something that, looking at it from the insider's viewpoint of being able to provide a higher level of service to our community, that is truly something that you should be recognized and honored for, all of you. It really, really has enhanced our five cities here. I hope that that continues. We have some other areas that are really, really hurting because of each one of us trying to do our own little things, where if we did them together in public safety, I think we could be a lot stronger and bring a higher level of service. The one thing that our city council recognized was that joining the two fire departments together might not have necessarily cut back on the money that we were spending, but rather brought a higher level of service forward. And for that, thank you very much for doing that. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for the community support and all of the staff support that we've gotten, the fire department, the members of the fire department, that everybody has really gone out there and worked toward the success of that. This has been a wonderful experience. It is now time for the next level of leadership to come into the fire department and take the fire departments to yet that next higher plateau. I'm very confident that the
enjoy. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. We're going to get another shot at Terry in a couple of weeks, I think. So it's not completely goodbye at this point, but we do honor him and recognize him for the service and dedication to the city. Okay, we're going to move on then to item 6, which is agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented tonight be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward on items that are not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on items or issues that are not published on the agenda. We would ask that those of you who would like to come forward, once again, these are items not published on the agenda. Please abide by the 3-minute rule. Please address the council as a whole. Anyone who would like to come forward during our initial public comment this evening? Again, items not on the agenda. Going once, going twice. Okay. We will close item 7. That will take us to item 8, the consent agenda. This is normally an item, a group of items that the council approves in one action unless there are specific items on consent that individual members of the council would like to pull for clarification or further discussion or perhaps a second separate action. This is also an opportunity, once again, for the public to come forward and comment on the consent agenda. So for those of you who were able to pick up any items this evening to be pulled?
No.
I would like to pull 8E just for sort of a heads up. And before we get into it, with that, I'll entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8K with the exception of 8E.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on those items? Anything in there to be read this evening, Tim?
No, Mayor Farrar, there's
okay.
Not.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. On 8E, as the council is aware, those are our council appointments to the various commissions, boards, and committees. And I just wanted to sort of give everyone a heads up so that you can be thinking about it. We certainly can't take any action on it this evening. I was discussing the senior advisory committee with my appointee to that committee, and I was informed that there had been some discussion that that the seniors who serve on that committee would like to perhaps consider or think about or discuss the possibility of going to a meeting schedule that is similar to the Downtown Parking Advisory Committee, where they meet on an as-needed basis instead of a schedule. I think there's been some instances where meetings really don't have substance, and so their concern is that they're meeting just to be meeting and not really achieving much. So I think we're going to wait, Steve, until we hear from them formally. I asked Ross Congable to sort of get together with a staff representative and perhaps generate a memorandum or a request or a letter.
Actually, we're looking at the process. The process is for them to actually modify their resolution. They set their own meeting dates and times by resolution, so we could probably just, at your direction, work with them and see what their proposal would be and then help them in drafting that.
Okay. So that's something they can do themselves then?
Yeah.
All right. So it is a heads up. That was the only issue with 8E. And so with that, I'll move approval of 8E.
Second.
We have a motion and
the purpose of which is to consider an increase in the in-lieu parking fee. There's a brief history within the staff report. In the late 60s, with the formation of the parking district in 1970, a parking credit that had been established as little as $1,000 per space in the 60s was elevated to a $3,000 per space in lieu fee. There was an escalation clause for cost of construction. Ultimately, that graduated to $4,000 per space. And then in the last 3 years, the Downtown Parking Advisory Board looked at the long-term needs for parking, the amount of money that could be accumulated through in-lieu fees, and basically concluded that it was totally under probable cost of providing the public spaces that were required. As a result, about 2 years ago, the City Council increased the fee from $4,000 to $14,000 per space. In that period, following the increase, we have actually had several developments pay in-lieu fees. Three significant projects, the Robiscotti Building at the corner of Traffic and Branch, the Timmons Building on Bridge Street, and then the remodel of the Equity Reach Mortgage, all contributed in-lieu fees for spaces that they could not provide on-site. We progressed with the guidance of the Downtown Parking Advisory Board to establish priorities and identified a property to acquire for expansion of public parking behind this very building on the LaPointe Street frontage. And on the basis of the appraisal of that property and the estimated cost of construction, the Downtown Parking Committee more than a year ago suggested an increase in the fee from $14,000 to $24,000. That recommendation lacked some of the background and comparative information that was thought to be necessary, so we spent some additional time negotiating the actual purchase. We've done some follow-up studies. The estimated cost of surface parking construction is to consider the increase from $14,000 to $24,000. This would reflect the recent land acquisition and the estimated improvement costs of the additional public parking. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond. The staff report also contains a brief comparison of parking fees considered by other communities, many of which are looking around and trying to group deal with the same problem, basically. The fees are changing as land costs escalate far rapidly than construction costs, but construction costs are also escalating. This does not consider the potential cost of structural parking solutions, which may ultimately be cheaper than land acquisitions. So with that introduction, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Questions or clarifications on the staff report? Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rob, looking at the report, you mentioned there's a range that was proposed between $22,000 and $25,000, exclusive of design and related costs. Why are those two costs excluded from the proposal?
The original parking in lieu fee was established with the expectation of recovery of land value necessary, and it takes roughly 350 to 400 square feet per car to park on the surface. The configuration of the lot can vary, and the design costs can vary along with it. So rather than to factor in design costs and amenities that may accompany, this is just a basic land purchase and at least part of the actual pavement costs that would be typically associated with creating a space.
And since, because obviously I was involved in the Planning Commission when we looked initially at raising it the last time, and one of the concerns that I had then was we're chasing a moving number, and we're not realistically, by the time we implement this and start building the spaces, we've already have a too low a number. And I had a little conversation with Steve as to can't we go higher? But there's, I guess, some legality about whether or not it really has to be a real cost. But I guess why was $24,000 proposed instead of $25,000, which appears to be in that range of still reasonable? I guess, I mean, I was actually wanting to go higher than the $25,000 until I found that there might
feel that it's clear what the cost of future land will be, other than the fact that we're running out of vacant space. So the biggest concern was, yes, we will be chasing a future land acquisitions that may include improvements on the land that would be lost in the development of additional parking. But it's very difficult to estimate. At some point, I think that the parking committee's preference was to propose what they felt was a mid-range estimate of land and improvement costs, and then to annually reevaluate whether or not the costs are escalating or whether the identified available sites are increasing in value to a point where the fee needs to be adjusted more than just the cost of construction. The previous approach obviously fell short because the only escalation was the cost of construction. There was no factor for the rapidly increasing land values within the village.
On the LaPointe property, since I believe that's the only spot that we actually own right now that we're contemplating developing, based on these in-lieu fees that have been paid on these other properties, how many spaces of that have been, I guess, allocated, and I guess how many would remain then? I guess what I'm looking at is how soon do we anticipate that we're actually going to need to be acquiring more property for spaces?
The capability of that site depends upon the design. Again, the estimated full use of the property would produce about 54 spaces, and on that basis is the way we factored either the appraised cost or the actual acquisition cost. It could differ. One of the reasons that is fairly efficient is the city owns the adjacent property, the back end of this property, and as a result we don't lose as much space for driveway ramping and access to either surface parking or future structural parking. We are in the process of completing a parking analysis that will be reported to the council within the next month that evaluates the potential for development of that site, and it could be double or triple the 54 surface spaces based upon structural solutions. And it may be partially funded by mixed-use development, where a frontage of LaPointe could be reserved and the portion of the property sold back, or the air rights above parking sold back to a development. So it would have a more aesthetic appeal from LaPointe, which may ultimately involve additional in-lieu fees. But currently there are no projects filed with the city that necessitate the use of the in-lieu fee, so it's a good time to at least consider escalating the fee. This still leaves open the option of a developer seeking off-site parking, which they can pursue privately. If they feel they can do it more economically than the city fee, that option is still available to them. And it's only used as a accommodation within the village core and village mixed use. There are no other in-lieu fee areas.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Councilmember Fellows.
Rob, I have a couple of questions. Does the cost per space go up, down, or sideways if we end up building a multi-story parking structure versus just paving the ground we own now?
I think the simple answer is up. Structural solutions are more expensive currently than the land acquisition and surface parking construction.
Okay, I had a hunch. Thank you. And all, just last question is, if the developers of a property don't pay the full cost of parking spaces, where does the money come from?
The parking requirements are obviously subject to some parking reductions, but the bottom line there is now there is no alternative except the in-lieu fee for development of parking. There is no assessment that is imposed on the parking district area. So it would come from the general fund or some other.
Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, the LaPointe lot has been highly. The LaPointe property lot has been highly subsidized by the redevelopment agency, not general fund money.
Thanks. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. This is a public hearing, and at this time, I would like to invite anyone, member of the public, who would like to come forward on 9A.
Good evening. Susan Flores, 529 East Branch. Mr. Mayor and council members and staff, I have a couple of questions, and I know they won't get answered tonight, but it's food for thought. We're doing a lot of mixed use in the village, which is commercial and residential, and in that is incorporated understructure parking, in which I live across the street from one in particular. I'm already seeing problems. It's not fully built out. It's far from that. But in the plans, there was where there are some existing buildings now that were newly put in, there was parking put in to be shared between two buildings, of which two garage-type under structures were made, no doors to allow for four spaces. And across from it, there was an additional spaces and then handicap and the ramp to service both of those stores. Since it has been built, some of the occupants, commercial part of the occupants, are now using our side of the street for parking, even though they should be over there in that structure utilizing some of the vacant spaces. But what has happened is, there has been two double car garage doors put on one of the structures, which has taken away four spots. So when now that they didn't have to pay any in-lieu fees because they met the plans and the design to have so many spaces, now they've turned around, they've gone through approval, the buildings are occupied, and now they have turned around and closed off four spaces. So I would like to see in this proposal that if somebody does that, because we are promoting more mixed use and we will see it throughout the village, that if they start closing off these spaces that were of original plans, not only do they have to pay the in-lieu fee of whatever it is at that time, but they need to pay a fine because that's not how they got their project approved. In addition, I think something has to be done in the way of an ordinance because we will be seeing at the end of the village, we will be seeing more, we're actually extending our village in the mixed use, that there will be fines for impacting the residential neighborhood because we will see this all around. And I have been very much for the projects in the village. I've always gotten up and supported a bit. But I do see this issue. It needs to be addressed. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to get up on and comment on item 9A? Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public comment, public hearing portion of 9A. And we will bring this back to the council and Councilmember Guthrie. Why don't we start with you?
Well, I do think it's certainly appropriate that we come back and look at this issue as we are actually evaluating the cost of producing these spaces. I've seen this in a number of other communities from the business side standpoint, and invariably these get moved back and forth, you know, partly because of the concern about the actually recovering the cost, but then if you do get the cost too high, nobody uses it, and you either stop up development or you end up with smaller projects built because they don't want to come up with the extra money for the project. So I can for the parking. So I can support staff's position here. I wouldn't be surprised if we're back looking at this in a year, not just because it's gotten more expensive, but because it's got increasing. Doubling the price of this, we're going to see at least some second thoughts about using it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're back visiting this from both sides of it. But I can support staff's position to move it to what is close to its current recovery cost.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fellows?
I don't have a problem at all with the size of the fee. I think as soon as if we do vote to pass it, it'll be outdated, and we should look at adjusting it as time goes by. Certainly, more often than I think, more than every year. Philosophically, I don't really have a problem with the concept that if we get it as high as it should be, where a person's paying whatever the space cost is for in-lieu fees, if we have more on-site parking, and therefore people will be parking by the business that they that they're frequenting and not parking at the curb. Theoretically, they're supposed to be across town on a city parking lot, but I don't think they'll do that. So I don't have a real problem with the fact that the fee goes up to the point where it should be. And so I'm all for this amount. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, have no problem with going forward and supporting staff's position on this. I think the reality is that the spaces are going to be more expensive as time goes on, and we will have to revisit this on a fairly regular basis. Probably every year we'll have to reevaluate this. I look forward to this study that staff mentioned is coming forward, and we'll see that. I'm sure that's going to just underscore the need to do this. So, yeah, I can support this and think we should go forward with it. And also ask maybe staff should look into whether there's some violations that Ms. Flores was mentioning that someone has been closing off some spaces. Let's see if that's a problem.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Mr. Mayor, obviously, as from my earlier comments, I was prepared to actually ask for a higher fee. I don't think there's support here tonight for that. And I also do recognize the concern that will drive some potential development away. I would like to point out, though, with that thought, that if you're converting a use, you already own the land, so technically you don't have that cost. But if you're buying a piece of land and your property is actually just too small to accommodate the parking on site, this is really just basically allowing you to do more with a small piece of property. So I really don't see, if it's a viable business, that this should actually drive away business. So I would probably say that I'd be very unlikely to support reducing this fee in the future. I probably would rather to look at it probably on a six-month basis than a yearly basis, since we're seeing costs change at a relatively rapid pace, especially when you look at asphalt and such with the tied to oil. So I can support this as proposed tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Quick question, Rob, maybe Tim, on the issue that Ms. Flores brought up. I'm trying to imagine the situation, and if we do look at a project where you know, the required number of parking places were brought in and placed, then you have a tenant that for one reason or another decides that they want more than, you know, whatever was allotted. And so there's some form of a lease agreement where perhaps extra parking for one business in particular. And I don't know if that's happening over there or not, but theoretically, if something like that happens and that person decides to close off the parking places that they're paying for in their lease agreement, that takes out of the equation the balance of the remaining spaces that were allocated to other individual tenants, which then forces off-site parking. Do we have any, can we affect that at all?
From the community development standpoint, I think that we are somewhat learning by experience. In a few of the early mixed-use developments, particularly those including residential, some of the spaces were allocated for residential parking, and that was expected to be assigned. So the parking reductions that were considered allowed for those spaces exclusive use, and then factored in guest parking for residential and factored in the office and commercial uses that were proposed. There are, in the situation that Ms. Flores described, service, commercial, warehouse, office, and residential uses all intermixed into East Village Plaza. That is the single building that I can think of that had residential garages at the east edge of the village. The Timmins project on Bridge Street also includes a residential component that have assigned spaces to the two apartments above, not included the guest parking. The guest parking and the commercial parking were provided on site and paid for in lieu. So I think that with the consideration of a parking reduction for mixed use, we are now attaching to it a covenant that the city has control of as to what level of assignment occurs and exclusive use occurs. If it fails to be actual multi-purpose parking, then no reduction should occur with it, and the in-lieu fee should be paid. So with that explanation, I think that some of the early cases may have created a problem. We observed the problem and have now been more sophisticated with the controls.
Okay. That's sort of what I wanted to hear. So that's good. Given that, I have no issue moving forward with this. I think it's appropriate, and I concur with some of the comments that have been made. We may well have to check in on this periodically to see if this amount remains in line with reality. But I have no problem supporting staff's recommendation on 9A, and with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande adjusting the in-lieu fee for off-street parking in the Village Parking and Business Improvement District.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thanks. You may want to take another look at the resolution, and just a little typo in there we might want to correct before we sign it. In the heading. Okay, that takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none this evening. New business, none. Takes us to City Council reports. I'll start off with SLOCOG. We have not yet had a meeting of the board since the, I think since a holiday. We'll be meeting in February. We have had meetings of the executive board, and I've attended two of those, I think. And there will be a change of officers. Supervisor Patterson will be coming in, I think, as the new chair of SLOCOG, and I'll be stepping aside as the past chair. And we'll be having election of officers for the second or the co-chair or vice chair at our next meeting. We've been looking at issues on the work plan for 2007 for SLOCOG. We've also been looking at funding issues related to some of the measures that were passed on the November ballot. One other thing that we're going to be looking at, and I believe, Steve, we've been trying to set up a meeting with James Worthley and some of the other staff members on Briscoe Halcyon, and trying to tighten up an alternative strategy that we can go with for this funding cycle, 2008 funding cycle. So that's on the front burner. South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, had a little bit of excitement there. I think probably if you've been looking at the newspaper, the periodic sampling that we've done of the effluent from the sand district turned up DDT trace amounts the first time, second time, more substantial. We really don't know what the cause is. Could be anything from illegal dumping up upstream to runoff. It's caused quite a quandary because DDT has been outlawed since, I think, 1973. It's been illegal to use. So we're trying to take sampling upstream. It's very expensive to do that, to try and chase down the source. And we're also begging and groveling with water resources so that we perhaps can escape our very first fine in some 30 years of plant operation. So We think we, since it was out of our control, we think we have a good case for it. We also have a new board in place at the Sand District. The new Grover Beach representative is Larry Vershaw, council member, and Jim Hill is the representative from Oceano Community Services District, and it appears that I'm going to be serving as the chair of that board for the coming year. A couple of other things, but nothing real critical at this point. I think we'll go ahead with Mayor Pro Tem, Integrated Waste Management, and EVC.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Integrated Waste Management meeting was canceled, so our next meeting, I believe, is in March. EVC meets tomorrow. The only other thing I do have to report is I did attend the Housing Task Force for the League of Cities in Sacramento last week, and there were a bunch of new members, and we're pretty excited about what's going to happen this year, so I plan to make all those meetings. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Zone 3 Water Advisory Board met last week. Due to the large number of new members, we actually didn't get a quorum until 7:30, but were able to go forward an hour late. They report normal operations, normal spending and expenditures for the operations to, through this point of the year. I will be serving as the vice chair of this committee. Since we have no longer have a chair, we have a vice chair now, a vice chair. APCD has not met. We meet tomorrow. I'll have a report on that next time. And Fire Oversight Committee and the Fire Consolidation Committees have not met either, and we'll be meeting on Friday. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Guthrie.
SCAT did not meet. I did attend, as the alternate, the January RAC meeting. I think for us, the two things that came out of that, one is it was reported that there is actually a final settlement of the Santa Maria groundwater basin, which I don't think affects us because I think we were already out of it, but I guess there is a final on that. The other thing that was that came up there is the consideration by RAC of a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors about whether the county should go ahead and sit on the Central Coast State Water Resources Control Board, and they're actually having a subcommittee meet to put together a proposal for a recommendation to the supervisors about whether that should take place or not. The final thing is most of the stuff is regarding the North County, but in the North County they are using state water for groundwater banking as a means to increase the safe yield of the groundwater basin. Almost directly, you pump in a gallon, you get to take a gallon out at some future date. And I know that at least Pismo is interested in that as an alternative here in the South County to actually use state water and groundwater banking as a way of looking at increasing our water supply. So I think that may be coming forward. That was just a kind of a discussion item there, but has been going on for some time in the North County and facilitating that. So just something to be aware that's on the horizon that Pismo may be coming forward with that idea. And that's all I have to report from RAC.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fellows, anything to report?
The South County Youth Coalition first meeting of the year is Thursday, and I'll be there. And I thank Councilman Guthrie for being at the RAC meeting. I was in Sacramento for the California League of Cities meetings, and they were very worthwhile. That's it.
Okay. Very good. That takes us to item 13, City Council Member Items. Anything?
Mr. Mayor, I have an item here, but I do have a quick correction was brought to my attention. In the approval on 8D on the consent agenda for the minutes of the last meeting, it shows me as not being present, but then it shows that I was there and voted on everything. I was there, so we might just make a minor correction on that. Thank you.
Okay. I think one of us spoke up when Kelly called Councilmember Costello. I think one of us answered for you.
You're not supposed to tell, though.
Okay. Any other council member items? City manager items, anything?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Go ahead. I have a council communication, item 15.
Okay. City manager items?
No, sir.
All right. Council communications.
I just had a thought about that DDT. Has it occurred to somebody that it could be a container full of DDT that was thrown in the creek years ago and finally has rusted through? Maybe while the water's low, somebody can locate that?
Well, this was actually found in the sewage effluent. It was inside a pipe that came into the sewer treatment plant. So it would be kind of tough to have something out of the creek that do that.
Okay. I have another question. Regarding groundwater banking, don't aquifers move? If you put water in, it goes away.
I'd say it's a discussion. I understand that's what their subcommittee is looking at, is exactly how you then reevaluate the safe yield based on that. At least in Paso Robles, it's my understanding from this discussion that Paso Robles has a very definable specific area that they're real comfortable is actually containing all the water. Mm. How that would work down here in the South County, I don't know. I just know that it's floating around out there as a possible solution to water shortage in the South County as well.
I see. Thanks. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mayor, that's it.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Any other council communication? Staff communications?
A couple brief communications. First, I think we lost most of the individuals that were being appointed to commissions, and I just wanted to announce that we have tentatively scheduled a commission orientation program for February 14th from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., and we'll be sending out notices to those individuals, but in case they're still listening tonight, I wanted to give them a heads up. It's a program we do on an annual basis. Secondly, on a more sad note, we have a resignation I have to pass on to you. We received a letter of resignation today from Dan Hernandez, our Director of Parks, Recreation, and Facilities, who will be leaving after next month and becoming the Director of Parks for Santa Barbara County. So while we hate to see him go, it's quite an opportunity, and we would like to keep him here, but we congratulate him on that significant accomplishment.
Okay, very good. On to bigger things. I don't know if they're better or not. In fact, I'm certain they're probably not, but that's right. Okay, that takes us to item 17, which is our final community comments and suggestion period. Any member of the community would like to come forward? Again, any item. Fair game. Can't entice anyone? Mr. Keene, Mr. Ross? No? All right, then we will close the final community comments and suggestions. That takes us to item 18, which is adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you, gentlemen.